They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
If you are on tenterhooks about a new mortgage, do not listen to our lead story now.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Other than waiting for medical test results, there may not be anything more nerve-wracking than the paperwork that comes with buying a house. As the government shutdown drags on, its effects are now being felt more widely. And as Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports, this could be holding up mortgages.
You could be the perfect borrower with sky-high credit scores and all your forms in order. But with many government workers furloughed, you still might have to wait because the IRS can't verify your tax returns or the Social Security Administration can't verify your identity.
Some people aren't in a position to wait around.
Housing economist Michael Carliner.
They've made other plans. They've sold their previous house. The lease has run out. Whatever, the delay isn't something that's easily accommodated.
First-time buyers hoping for Federal Housing Administration loans could face long waits as the agency has limited staff. FHA loans are a significant chunk of the housing market. The longer the government is closed, the more deals could be delayed or even wrecked altogether. That's why home buyers, sellers, and bankers are worried. Housing affects the entire economy, and its fragile recovery is in real danger because of the government shutdown. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Adobe Systems is famous for inventing the PDF document in Photoshop. Now, along with federal authorities, the company continues to investigate how hackers got into the personal data of millions of Adobe customers. Major hacks of that scale are becoming more common. One especially unnerving technique is called Zero Day, which sounds like a movie, but not one you'd want to sit through. Reporter Arthi Shahani has more.
This is what bank robberies used to sound like.
1 minute.
Bad guys with guns breaking in through the front door, heading to the vault. The clock ticking as the police have only so much time to apprehend the thieves.
Great work. Get all of it. Sweep this place clean.
In today's information economy, some hackers pilfer money and secrets from corporations, not with guns, but with a computer code called a zero day. A zero day is the electronic equivalent of the informant who tells the bank robber where to drill a hole in the back of a bank vault. It's called a zero day because the good guys have no clue until after it's used, say on day one or sometimes day 31.
I found a vulnerability in a class of home broadband routers, you know, the kind of things like your Linksys or your typical DSL routers.
Zulfikar Ramzan with SourceFire Securities is one of the few hackers good enough to find zero days.
Your home router is the conduit between you and the internet.
Ramzan figured out a way to fool the router to steal your username and password when you log into bank websites. Hackers can use zero days and try to rob the bank themselves, or they can sell the hack to someone else and just pocket a finder's fee. The good citizen he is, Ramzan did not sell his zero day. But if you were in the market for one, it's not hard to find them.
You got to chill because I'm strictly busy.
I am at home visiting 1337day.com. We accept web money, Bitcoin, and perfect money. Huh. They like anonymous ways to pay. Hacking into another person's network is totally illegal. But cyber lawyer James DeNaro says the U.S. government is not going to crack down anytime soon.
Some of the biggest buyers are the United States government itself, law enforcement agencies, and the price for interesting and novel exploits has been on the rise. And this is largely due to the fact that the exploits can be used for so many different law enforcement purposes.
As with so much in hacking, zero days are going mainstream. In San Francisco, I'm Arthi Shahani for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The Premier Blue is the world's biggest round blue diamond, and it's up for auction at Sotheby's in Hong Kong today. Bidding could hit $19 million. Sally Herships explores the enduring allure of big-ticket diamonds.
Who spends $20 million on a diamond? That could buy 53 Rolls Royces or a massage every day for 547 years.
Dealers who eventually are going to sell these diamonds see them as a long-term investment.
Rob Bates is senior editor of JCK, Jewelry Industry News.
Yeah, people who collectors, people who just love pink and blue diamonds.
Then there are people who buy them in financially volatile times, like in the classic film Auntie Mame. When the Great Depression hits, one of the characters, Vera Charles, is glad she invested in jewels.
Mame, I'm afraid you're wiped out. We all are.
But everyone said I was such a fool spending all my money at Tiffany's.
But just how conservative an investment are diamonds?
Diamonds are only worth something if you can get somebody else to buy them from you.
Paul Swinand, equity analyst with Morningstar.
Other than some industrial processes, they don't really serve much purpose.
But they sure do look good. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And a bartender in Springfield, Oregon, has a long-running thing with one of her regulars. The customer likes to buy several lottery tickets, and she chooses a couple as a tip. One of those tickets has finally hit $17,500. The bartender, 25-year-old Aurora Kephart, has now earned herself a spot in the Marketplace Personal Finance Hall of Fame by saying that with the money, she'll buy a new couch and the rest she will save. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.